my friends, the message I am about to bring you promises to be among the most important in this series, Treasures from Tanakh. Chaverim, way out on the stormy ocean, some sailors, in their distinctive uniforms, and one lone female, were being tossed about in a sturdy lifeboat. They had been shipwrecked, but their providential lifeboat gave guarantee of deliverance and security, for the rescue vessel was already speeding to their aid. Presently, the sailors observed in the distance another lifeboat from the same shipwrecked vessel, and in it, too, other survivors were clearly discernible, but they wore no uniforms. Nevertheless, all but one of the occupants of the first lifeboat rejoiced to see the second with its cargo of delivered humanity. However, this one dissentient sailor labored under the unfortunate delusion that the presence and possession of the second lifeboat with its ununiformed occupants nullified the validity and efficacy of his own lifeboat, so, without warning, he jumped into the sea and was drowned. How sad, particularly when both lifeboats came from the same ship to which all equally belonged. Why have I told you this parable? To save you jumping into the sea of rejection and drowning in spiritual loss just because others who wear not our uniform nor travel in our lifeboat are out on the same ocean awaiting the sure arrival of the rescuer. Please keep this parable in mind as we ourselves toss about upon the waters of human uncertainties. I assure you, every precious bit of saving material used in the manufacture of our sturdy lifeboat of revealed truth is material drawn solely, exclusively, and entirely from our own Jewish sources. And the fact that others, not necessarily wearing our particular uniform, are also awaiting the rescuer in a lifeboat made of the same materials, should rather give us heartfelt comfort and cause us to cherish with added satisfaction the materials from which our own reliable boat is made, and should place strong restraint upon any initial impulse or tendency to jump overboard. Retaining for the moment our parable of and our position in our lifeboat, let us draw from imagination's fertile supply and give material form and being to some of its uniformed occupants. There, opposite us, sits a seasoned son of the sea, his beard already white with the bleaching of the years. My modern Hebrew dictionary would call him a zaken, an old man. Beside him sits a callow youth, a mere lad. My same modern Hebrew dictionary, printed in Israel, translates both these English words, youth and lad, by the Hebrew word alum. And as I look at his downy chin and immature figure, I think of David at the time he slew the giant Goliath. And I remember that our Tanakh, the Bible, describes that same David upon that same occasion by that same word alum, which Isaac Leeser translates in English by the word stripling. A lad, a stripling, a youth. Have you captured the picture of these two extremes of masculinity? Relax over them for a while. We have plenty of time for such meditation in our lifeboat. What do you suppose to be their family relationships and background? As the sea wind parts and seems to caress each strand of the white beard of the old man, it is so easy, almost inevitable, that we picture him in the role of the venerable old grandfather, with all his grandchildren gathered round his knees. In like manner, we can easily imagine gathered round the knees of the callow youth, his children. Oh, hold on, you say. We get no such picture of the callow youth, the alum. He wouldn't have any children. He wouldn't even be married yet. Yes, I guess you're right. We would have to stretch exceedingly the meaning of the English words youth and lad and the Hebrew word alum to squeeze into them any thought of a marital state. That is, unless we had an axe to grind. By the way, wasn't there someone else in our boat? Oh, yes, the sailor who jumped overboard. But he disappeared, hidden and concealed beneath the waves. Don't you remember? He got some queer notions about the other lifeboat and jumped overboard. By the way, isn't it interesting that the Hebrew word for disappear, hidden, concealed, he'alem, ne'alem, comes from exactly the same Hebrew root origin as the Hebrew word for lad. Alam, a lad. Ne'alam, to be hidden, to be concealed, to disappear. Now that's surely interesting. What can be the etymological connection between the sailor beneath the waves and the callow youth in the lifeboat? Well, there is an element of concealment, disappearance, hiddenness, common to both. With the sailor beneath the waves, this element is easy to guess. He himself is concealed, hidden, disappeared, not public. And the alum, the youth? Well, we agreed that he wasn't married, so he appears as one whose marriageable propensities are potential only. He is just about marriageable, but so far his conjugal nuptial attributes are not exercised or apparent. They are hidden, concealed, disappeared beneath the veil of his masculine virginity. Incidentally, in the Arabic, which is closely related to Hebrew, this same root means ripe and marriageable. So we are quite justified and accurate in our assessment of what the alum, the youth, is, or morally ought to be. And I feel sure that the alum, David, as he confronted Goliath, would not disappoint us in our assessment of this moral quality of his almut, his youthfulness. My, we nearly forgot. There is a female in the boat, too. Do you ask what she is like? What age, what condition? Well, my friends, she is exactly the female counterpart of the male youth. The only difference being that between the lad and the ladess is that of sex. All that the word lad has justifiably conjured to your mind with regard to the male youth can, with equal justification, be assumed of the female youth, the ladess, if you'll allow me to coin the word. Of course, it would be more accurate to use the feminine form of the Hebrew word which we employed with regard to the lad. The lad is an alum, the feminine form of which is alma. My, that was a nasty wave that rocked the boat then, wasn't it? The waves were reasonably calm when we used the masculine word alum, but there was quite a disturbance when we used the same word in its feminine form, alma. Do you suppose it was because Alma was the word used by our great God-inspired Yeshayahu, Isaiah, when he cried prophetically to the house of David, not to Ahaz, mark you, Lachen yitain Adonai, hu lachem ot, hine ha-alma hara, v'yoledit bain, v'karat shmo Immanuel. Therefore the Eternal himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the Alma shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel. God is with us. Now please don't jump overboard. That male youth was a male virgin, as the very word alum and its root, both Hebrew and Arabic, justified us in accepting. Then the female form of the same word and root surely justifies us in assuming a female virgin, unless, as I said before, we have an axe to grind. I respect the honesty of that distinguished Jewish commentator, Reverend Dr. I. W. Slotkey, M.A., Lit. D., that the Hebrew word Alma sometimes bears this meaning of virgin. Anyway, the Jewish translators of the Bible, who translated the Septuagint version some 300 years before the Common Era, and therefore had no axe to grind, translated the Hebrew word alma by the Greek word parthenos, which is correctly translated into English as virgin. This Greek word is so used by Euripides, born 480 BC, and by Heraclides in the 4th century BC, and its Hebrew equivalent, alma, is used in modern Hebrew by such modern Hebrew story writers as Micha Yosef Berdichevsky in his delightful little story, Ahavat Ne'orim. Thus, confining myself exclusively and entirely to our own Jewish-inspired scriptures, and supporting my observations thereon from our own Talmudical and Kabbalistic writings, I have now submitted to you in this and my previous messages the essentially Jewish concept that the redemption of mankind will be accomplished through deity become incarnate as man, in conformity with a pristine Edenic promise of the seed of the woman, whom our Jewish sages and prophets unitedly declare to be the Messiah, virgin born. Thank you for remaining in the lifeboat. We'll resume our conversation in my next message, so keep listening. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panavelecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.